Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. It's not snowing for a change. Hard to believe, but this is Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show, and True Straight Up, brought to you by...
That's right, on this Party Friday, brought to you by AmericasCitizenPress.com, conservative voice of Colorado and the rest of the country, and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Senegenics. We had her on last Friday. She did a great job. Okay, so we're going to get Patrick Neville on. He's going to explain to us why, once again, the Democrats are proposing still more gun control legislation. It's not about grabbing your guns, though. And then we're going to have social influencer Arash Mosla on, talking about this push in Denver. They want to, first, keep in mind the citizens voted in 2012 to ban urban camping. And Denver says, okay, so let's go ahead and have urban camping. We don't care what citizens think here in Denver. And they're trying to find a place to put it. Globeville said no, Five Points said no. So now they're putting it in South Park Hill, about a block from Hickenlooper's house. And guess what those neighbors are saying too. So we'll talk about that.
I think you could have that. You could have a heroin injection site in addition to that, as well as a halfway house for killers and so forth.
And a
roller coaster. And I think, you know, maybe since now Senator Hickenlooper promised to end homelessness in 10 years.
We could ask him how it's going.
We could ask him to at least make a little sacrifice and turn his house
into a home thing.
You know, they could double the capacity.
And he could end homelessness.
He could help. He could help.
Just let him all live at his house.
I mean, he called it a marketing ploy, which is saying I lied to all you people, but that's okay. That's what Democrats do.
We got Patrick Neville, representative from Douglas County, with us once again on Friday, checking in with him on the evil doings at the state legislature. Patrick, hey, thank you for your time. I need to read the note. Actually, we don't have him. He didn't pick up. Oh, sorry, Thomas, he's not here yet. Note to the host, go ahead and read the thing. It gets bad. It's bad as you get older, right? You can't see anything. Another thing that too, maybe while we're waiting for Patrick, because he did have a meeting, he told me, so he had a presentation. One other thing that's going on, and we can talk about our conversation with Donald Trump's former lawyer, I guess, right?
I'm not sure he's former.
Lawyer John Eastman. But in Maricopa County in Arizona, key county, obviously, in the 2020 election, they were going to do an audit. Democrats have been fighting tooth and nail to stop it. The Republicans finally in the legislature, I'm going to scooch it over here a little bit for you, legislature finally got it so that they're going to do the audit. And late this afternoon, Democrats, with roughly, according to Donald Trump, 73 lawfare, et cetera, lawyers, including Perkins Coy, they were the people behind the Russia dossier.
Mark Elias, Hillary Clinton's attorney.
Right. All of those high-powered people moved to at least temporary halted. They asked for a restraining order. So the judge halted the audit that was supposed to be going on as we speak. And you could even watch it, I think, on the OANN.com. Mm-hmm. It was going to be live streaming. And they've halted it till Monday, giving the Republicans a chance to reply. Okay, so you're the lawyer reading between. I have covered many lawyers, so I practically am a lawyer. Not practically a doctor, though. No kidding, though. No kidding aside. What do you? You're in reading into this. Is this good, bad? Was it something that they kind of had to do?
Well, it's never what the law is.
No.
It's what the judge who is interpreting the law thinks. I mean, does it make sense that a bunch of Democrats, oh no, you can't audit it because this guy has a bias. Oh, we don't want to waste the money as they bring 73 lawyers in.
Yeah.
Oh, this will hurt the sanctity of the vote. It'll bring in questions as to voting. No, we can't do that. Why can't you do an audit? No.
We just cannot.
So you say to yourself, well, I mean, up in the Colorado Supreme Court, and make that the U.S. Supreme Court, they've had chance after chance after chance to assure us that it was a real election. And of course, the cowards don't.
No, and they just say, take it or you're going to be banned, fired, your social media accounts. Well, one of the things, too, I remember in Colorado, Patrick Neville and those guys down there at the state legislature tried to get an audit, and the Republicans said no. If you want to weigh in on this, a Democrat said no. If you want to weigh in on this while we're waiting for Patrick, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to join in on Zoom, all you got to do, you guys, you know, just go ahead and unmute yourself. You can put your camera on if you want as well. And if you ever want to join us on Zoom, we love to have you do that. Just go to zoom.us and the Zoom meeting number, I'm going to read it twice, is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. Let me break this down. Now, let's do this two parts. First, just the sort of from the legal point of view, if you can explain what's going on and is it typical, atypical? And then I want to get into the whole, you know, what are they so afraid of issue? But legally, does a judge, my observation would be almost always when somebody files this, the judge almost always grants it at least for a day or two. And that's all he did. He granted it from 5 o'clock Friday till noon on Monday.
Well, you know, they do or they don't. I mean, there are plenty of Trump lawsuits filed in which the court didn't do it at all. So no, it's not, you know.
Is it necessarily bad news that the judge allowed a temporary hold?
Not good news. I mean, you know, you'd want to, if he was deposed to want to not grant it, he would kind of go, no, I'm not going to grant it. You can argue Friday or Monday or Tuesday, and instead he's halted everything. I mean, you know, ask Randy Corcoran.
Yeah.
I mean, he's filed case after case.
You're right. They didn't halt the
No.
Okay, so we should be done. In other words, guys, be depressed.
Prepared to have your democracy stolen you by a bunch of crooked lawyers and crooked judges.
Well, I think what they're, from what I understand, what they're arguing is they can't guarantee the security. They can't guarantee confidentiality or some such nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure once they address that, they'll have a million other things. The one thing I'm hopeful for, and this is the good news, is the Donald Trump and the Republicans do, I think, they're fighting fire with fire a little bit. They're not just kind of sitting there, and no offense to Rudy Giuliani, but they're not hoping Rudy Giuliani is going to come in and save the day now, right? I mean, I get the impression, and here let's go to our conversation with John Eastman, that the Republicans under the Donald Trump, the Make America First Republicans are prepared to fight this and fight this hard because they know how much is at stake here.
Yeah, well, you assume they're fighting it so hard not because they don't have something to hide. You assume they're fighting so hard because they do have something to hide. Now, you know, it may be the birth citizenship of Obama thing where they fought it because they really knew that they could win that one, but they didn't want you to keep on going to other ones which they wouldn't win. So you just don't know for sure, but the Democrats are crooked. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and the judges who are Democrats lie, cheat, and steal, and they know. And the Republicans and the Supreme Court lie, cheat.
Some of the Republicans in Arizona have not been all that helpful, huh?
I mean, Maricopa County has only one Democrat on its voting board, and they've been fighting tooth and nail, that one guy and the Rhino Republican. So that's
set the stage here. This is not a place where they want to overturn it. They're not asking for a recount. They're simply asking to do an audit, which seems to me to be, why would you not want to do an audit? When you think of it, it's astonishing that they don't do audits. Hey, we have Representative Patrick Neville with us. Patrick, hey, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, I wanted you to kind of walk us back in the little, not the way back machine, but a little bit. We're talking about the judges granted a temporary halt in the audit in Maricopa County of the 2020 election. And, you know, our whole point is, why are the Democrats sending 70, nearly 100 lawyers to fight it? You guys.
Lawyers, guns, and money.
No guns in the Democratic Party. Unless you're an AOC and you need your security detail. Right. But Patrick, you guys tried to push for an audit in Colorado too. And they were like, no, nothing to see here. Move on. You're a bunch of like conspiracy nuts, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it's like the best case scenario for the Democrats, right? For them, if they don't have an audit, then if everything is actually on the up and up, then they love it because then conservatives will stay home and not vote because they think the system's rigged. And so what's the point? And then two, obviously there's stuff going on. They don't want the audit to show it. And so, yeah, we tried producing the same thing in Colorado and said, hey, if you guys think these things are great, let's, you know, print out some of the paper ballots and run them through a different machine that maybe is not Dominion, or, you know, I think we only have like one county in Colorado that's not on Dominion, and that's Douglas. Yeah. But we could easily do that and actually do an audit and let everyone know, hey, if it is secure, it's secure, then everything would be validated. What's the problem? But I think they don't want it for two reasons. One, either there's fraud, or two, they love the fact that, hey, conservatives are staying home.
Right. So that, okay, well, that's encouraging. We'll keep an eye on that to see what's going on. Let me ask you another thing. So the governor, I think it was this week, right, signed two great pieces of gun legislation that essentially turn, if you're the victim of a stolen gun, you could easily become the criminal in the case. But then I saw that the Democrats are getting ready to push still more gun legislation.
More good common sense gun reform.
Right, exactly. What's going on with all of that?
So the only specific one I've heard of, and we've talked about it, is some sort of waiting period. You're talking 3 days, maybe 5 days, which is just ridiculous because, again, all the stuff they pushed in the past, the magazine ban, everything, the universal background checks, all the stuff they pushed in the past didn't stop the shooting in Boulder. And then even this one wouldn't stop the shooting in Boulder. They talk about the safe and storage would have stopped certain shootings. Didn't stop any of these. Didn't stop the STEM shooting. They actually just took the crowbar. And the safe and storage bill is just ridiculous too, because it basically criminalizes anyone. There's no way to really comply with the law when I look at it. Okay. You know, we went over this, I think, in the past, but if you have to have they can't have access to the unlocking device. And so if you have a key, what the heck do you do with the key, right? You've got to have,
you have to put the key in a box.
If you have the combo written down somewhere, then, well, that's an unlocking device. And if they're digging through files and they find it, well, you have that is part of it too. And so it's just, again, they're trying to use any sort of tragedy to try to push their far left agenda. And of course, you know, like they said earlier, that Democrats don't have guns. Well, that's not true, because they only want the government to have guns, and the Democrat loves big government. So they want the government to have as much guns and firepower as they possibly need, but not the individual to protect themselves.
But what about this? One of the things we talked on the show Wednesday with the whole Derek Chauvin verdict, and then, you know, the Democrats jumping all over the cop in Columbus that saves a person's life. And that's bad, too. They should have. I don't know what they're not even
helped
saying.
Out,
they're just saying he's racist. So he's
carve those girls up. Should have been.
My thing is what I suspect a lot of this is all aimed at is having the federal government take over local law enforcement.
Yeah, that's been a goal for a long time.
Can you talk about, do you see anything down at the legislature kind of leading that direction that sort of supports that theory?
You know, they had a lot of crazy bills in the past that were actually killed. They had the Senate Bill 182 that would have just basically gotten rid of the police's ability to do anything in the school system whatsoever, yeah, including your resource officers. So I don't know if they'll bring anything forward that's that drastic. What they're really focusing on right now is, I mean, they do have one bill that's still working in the system where, like, you know, vehicle theft, that a cop can't arrest a person or pursue them after a vehicle theft, which is just ridiculous. So there are things they're trying to do to hamstring the police. And it's so bizarre, too, because you take a look at it with the gun rights issues, and I take a look at it going, hey, I have to take responsibility for my own defense. And they say, no, that's what the police are for. But then on the other hand, they're running all these bills and saying, well, we're going to go ahead and tie the police's hands so they can't do anything. I mean, really what we're just doing is empowering criminals. It's getting really scary.
Well, it is. I mean, you're absolutely right. And then they all are like, oh, I wonder why crime is going up. It must be COVID. It's like, no, it's a fact that, you know, like in Berkeley, California, where they're not arresting people on or stopping people, police can't, for minor traffic offenses. And you know, it's only a minor traffic offense, you know, or if it's your car that's stolen, then it kind of matters, right? And they're you're right. They're doing everything to make it easier for criminals. They don't have to have bond or pay any bond. But, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, they can hold you in jail forever without bond, because you're a danger. The FBI will show up and investigate you. Is there anything you guys could do at the legislature? One of the things that worries me is we're finding out, even like for Pete's sake, the Postal Service is doing surveillance data gathering on all of us. It's like the Postal Service?
Absolutely.
I thought they were nice guys.
I know.
It would never pass, right. But is there any kind of discussion there to try to limit what they can or cannot do to gather Coloradans' information?
The only thing that's out there right now is a bill that we heard in committee, and it's laid over for now for amendments and stuff. And I don't think the bill will get through, but it, because it touches so many things. And so there's one bill that actually Alex Valdez, who's a Democrat, has, and it's about collecting biometric data and things of that nature. The problem with his bill, in my mind, is it also limits private business, but everyone who came out and testified against it, of course, were government employees and saying, oh, we need this. We collect this data and it helps us stop crime. And really what they're, you know, it's almost, it was a weird conversation from some of the folks at like even the CBI level and stuff. I think there were some valid points with just local jails and stuff using this for inmates, but there was CBI was like, well, it helps us, you know, protect you from being, attacked or accused of a crime. Like, wait, it helps the innocent of being accused from a crime. Like,
hopefully that's not a big problem here.
No.
There it is.
Again, it's so weird. It's like, okay, yeah, we don't like the police, but then, if we need to go ahead and collect data on every citizen, it's just, well, we can do that. You know, the police are allowed to do that. So it's so authoritarian in the way that they're approaching all the bills they're passing.
Yes. Well, what else? Are there some other things? I know, because you do such a great job keeping us aware of what's going on. Let me say this.
How much longer are you guys going to be in session?
Have they determined an end date?
End date?
Well, if we have some luck, maybe we'll be out by Memorial Day, but it sounds like a lot of that depends on, and to their credit, some of the Democrat legislators' credit actually on this one, they're worried about the stimulus money coming in from the federal government. And I like the general purpose of what they're trying to do. They want to make sure the governor doesn't get to spend it all himself. Mm-hmm. Now they want to go ahead and spend the money on stupid programs themselves, but it is one of those things that I think the legislature should at least have a say in.
Right.
I probably won't agree with them on how they want to spend it. And essentially that's what's going on. I mean, it's really frustrating too, because we have $800 million of stimulus and they're saying, oh, well, this is state funds and it's not general fund because it's just left over from last year. But if you rewind back to last year, what they did is they took, the governor took about $1 billion they got,
right,
and he gave it to higher ed and all sorts of other stuff like that. So when the legislature came back in the session, they said, oh, we can lower these temporarily because we got backfilled with federal funds.
Right.
So now they're saying, oh, no, this is just new money. No, it was money last year. And I get so frustrated because everyone's like, oh, well, it's federal money, so it's free. I'm like, no, that's my kids' money or my grandkids' money at this point.
Right.
It's not even ours.
Right.
Give it back to the citizens. But now we have a bunch of Republicans jumping on all these different bills, including our leadership, and saying, oh, well, these are good. Oh, well, $25 million for workforce development.
Right.
You know, $100 million for this. And, oh, this is good stuff. I'm like, no, give it back to the dang taxpayer if you have a choice.
Well, because then they'll turn around and say.
I can't think of a single business out there that would say, oh, I would much prefer this going to a government program than having it back.
Right. Then just, well, what about, you know, speaking on that. So it's
well, we've got a question from Sandra.
Oh.
Who is included in the leadership?
Name names.
Well, though, I mean, you got Hugh McKean, the leader right now. And, you know, folks like Dave Williams and myself have been pushing back and saying, no, we need to fight some of these stimulus bills. But Republicans are jumping back and forth. And then, you know, Tim Geithner is the assistant minority leader. And Janice Rich is the caucus chair on several of these different bills. And so that's...
Who's the last one?
Janice Rich.
What about, are we still under emergency policies? Is there any talk of that ending?
Ever?
I mean, we have the All-Star game coming, so there's no social distancing.
Well, yeah, well,
the
All-Star game canceled the pandemic in Colorado. So, you know, it's an amazing things that baseball can do for a state.
And well, and Governor, he's given control back to the counties, but does he still have the is he still basically still under and some kind of state of emergency?
Oh, I mean, yeah, and he's saying that the state of emergency is probably going to go on for years because we have to have the state of emergency to get the federal funds. And again, it's that conversation that I talked about earlier. It just drives me crazy. They act like, oh, well, it's federal funds, so it's just free money. And it's like, well, take a look at our debt, folks. And, you know, we have state legislators have a responsibility, too. When you take a look at what's going on with our fiscal and monetary policy, I haven't experienced heavy inflation in my lifetime, but I'm going to. I mean, that's going to happen. And
look at the gas prices. Look at gas prices.
Doubling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, lumber, steel doubling, all these prices doubling. And it's just going to be, we're going to be in a really bad spot and not prepared for it. And so they just
are
thinking, we need more stimulus. Let's help more people. And I'm like, no, we need to give people money back in their pocket and quit spending so much. And, you know, we've got to do something about this because inflation is going to rock our country here shortly.
So every time for Party Friday, we like to finish up with you on one optimistic thing out there, even if it's not true.
Even if you're making it up.
If you're totally making it up. One ray of hope, even if it's a total canard.
It's slim pickings out there. If I had to pick one that I really liked that we passed, it was a bill that Mark Catlin and Perry Will had that said that if you have donated, like an Elks Lodge, for instance, if they have a party and they get alcohol donated for that party, then they can't use it for anything else and they have to store it separately. And so it basically gets rid of that and says, no, you can still use donated alcohol for, the next party that you might have, and you don't have to store it in a different location, and just gets rid of some red tape. And but that's, it's not going to the world in our state, but it's one good thing.
I would store it at my house. It's like,
stored room.
All right. Well, hey, Patrick, thank you.
I made that same offer, but they didn't take me up on it.
All right. Well, stay in there. Keep fighting the fight. You know, just know you're appreciated out here. You really are. I know you probably hear that, but
probably doesn't hear it.
Yeah, you truly are. So thank you for your time and thank you for the work that you do.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for getting the word out.
All right. Patrick Neville out there. This is from Charlene. Back to the Maricopa County thing. Democrats play hardball, squeezing the judge to grant a delay while they come up with another tactic. Charlene, that's kind of exactly what I think is happening too, right? They've been down there. They've got like 8 million briefs to file. Don't you think, Chuck, if they go this way, then we're going to file this if they go this way. And again, it all gets back to
100 lawyers.
Yeah. And I mean, and John Eastman, though, again, he was a Trump lawyer. We had a conversation with him last Sunday, and he seemed... he was really good because we asked, okay, well, what's the real story? And he gave some examples of some what they thought might have been voter fraud that was debunked, right? Mm-hmm. That he said actually turned out not to be that. Some other stuff he said that actually looks very significant and it appears to be true. And he was talking about how important these audits are, right?
Right. So, well, I'm not optimistic about Maricopa. I think, that the judges will stop it if there's real fraud involved, and there's no real fraud, they won't be able to find it, and the Democrats will prevail, because they always do. I mean, is there a case where the Democrats did not succeed?
And here's the other thing that is scary to me. Let's say they go down there and they find evidence of fraud. Well, right now, under all of the social media policies, if you put anything up about that, they will take it down. Not only will they take that down, they'll go through your accounts and find all kinds of, with Michelle Malkin, they're gone back halfway through 2020, deleting her YouTube channel, right? They're just dismantling it. They've done that to us. They've gone back and found stories that they don't like.
So
shows.
Dangerous.
Yeah, they found shows so they don't like. Dangerous. They've just taken apart. So there's that, number one. So you got to wonder who will know about it. And if you know some of the mainstream media organizations, Dominion is threatening to sue everybody. Thank God some people are finally, Mike Lindell is suing Dominion back.
Yeah,
they threatened to sue everybody. So Fox, Newsmax, all these organizations, they've got their lawyers saying don't talk about it. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops. And I just go back to, I think this is more than just Democrats, just this is the way they play. I think they know that there is fraud. And I'm talking here now more than just even like the ballot harvesting, that kind of fraud. I suspect that in these machines, there is evidence of fraud. And by fraud, I mean switching votes, taking away votes, changing the algorithms.
I don't know if that's true or not. I have no way of knowing.
Don't know, but I suspect it because they're fighting so hard everywhere to stop anyone from, because it makes absolute sense. If they weren't, and if they were sure, they would just say, here, show, right? Instead, I mean, they're pulling out all the stops to cancel anyone who questions it. They're preventing, they're using every tactic they can to prevent anyone from looking at it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I find that's a lot of time and effort, and these lawyers, I'm sure, getting paid, and money going into stopping us from finding out. I don't know. You don't think so?
You think we ever will find out?
My thing, this is what I think.
That's what we're asking.
I know.
what do you think?
I think no.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, it's not because of the way the world works right now and all the fake news that's out there. For instance, I reference NBC reporting on that girl that got shot by the officer in Columbus, so she was stabbing the other girl. They edit out in the 911 call, they edit out the part of the 911 call where they said, she's stabbing everybody. She's got a gun, she's gonna, a knife, and
well,
she's gonna stab everybody.
Well, that'd be salacious.
Well, and so they were, and the same thing with the Russia bounty story, right? Mm. Where they know that's not true and they reported anyway, where you have CBS selectively editing pictures in that Columbus
shooting.
Yeah, but
look,
the
number of
the
people
knife.
Have gone to jail over Russiagate.
Well,
all the fraud that
right.
was done, and all the people have been held before the courts, and all the people in the FBI and the Justice Department, and Justice Roberts spanking people for those awful FISA warrants that were fraudulent.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
All those
None
people.
None of that. Right.
Nothing has happened to anybody.
No.
Ever.
And Sandra says she agrees with me. And I mean, I think the thing is that, so will there be fraud? I think that they very well may uncover things that are very questionable. And I think what's going to be hard to say is, was this fraud? Was this deliberate? Who did it? How do you backtrack that? I mean, I think it's going to be, and when they do get an answer, and I suspect that there will be computer people out there who will understand it, but in order to try to explain it, you know, in a 30-second, you know, 15-second soundbite, that's going to be very difficult. And I think that enough has been done to muddy the waters, and they made it clear that, oh, you're a conspiracy nut if you don't, you know, if you don't, like they say, admit, who was that? Remember that? Was that when one of the CNN guys was saying, say it, that there was no election fraud. Why won't you say it, right? That's where they're pushing. And they're pushing really, really hard. But I think that it's just going to be very difficult in the end. So am I hopeful that even if they get to do the audit, will they be able to say definitively in a way that is easily understood on TikTok that there was fraud? I think not.
My guess, there absolutely was fraud, massive fraud.
Right.
And it'll never be allowed to come out.
Well, and here's the bigger thing. Here's why they really can't afford to do it, because they want to do it next time, right? That's the biggest thing. They're not so much, I think, worried about, are we having fraud this time around? They're just worried because they want to do the same thing. The last thing they want us to do is find out anything that will allow us to fix the problem so it can't happen again.
All right. We've got our 3:30 guests coming up.
Rosh Masala. I know I always say it's Mosala. I always say it the wrong way. Hey, Rosh. Oh, you're connected to the audio. Hang on a second. Oh, there you are. Arash, are you impersonating Joe Biden there?
I don't want to catch COVID.
Yeah. For me and Chuck. So.
I got the blue mask. See?
Oh, there you go. All right, we're pulling you up. Let's see it.
This mask, my bat, the blue mask.
Good for you.
There you go.
That's right. Now, can you go outside with that on, Arash? Or
no,
just
you can't. You can't. No. You're going to get kicked out. You're going to get heckled. No.
Exactly. You're going to have no.
I want to congratulate both you and your partner, Ted, for that huge sacrifice where you're agreeing to make your place as part of the South Park Hill homeless camp. You're turning over your house to them. That's really great of you. That's great of you.
I know. I mean, we don't have a pool, so the homeless people will have to use Hickenlooper's pool, which is just down the street.
Yeah.
You know, take a dip in there. Why not? Cool off. Yeah. But yeah, that is a crazy story right now.
Well, let me first, I want to tell you. So Sandra has just typed, Arash is here. Yay. So they love you.
Was Sandra the one asking me before if I had a Parlor? Because I'm finally on Parlor now. So I'm on Parlor.
Okay, yay. Promote it. How do we find you on Parlor?
Same as on Twitter. My first name, Arash, A-R-A-S-H. Last name, Mo Saleh, M-O-S-A-L-E-H. On Parlor now. So find
me. All right, cool. We need to get your numbers up to there too, because Parlor won't take them away. That's a good thing. It's hard starting over, as we know. Well, because we wanted to talk to you about Tay Anderson, the latest stuff on Tay Anderson, but also this fight. So to set the stage for folks, in 2012, Denver voters resoundingly said, we do not want urban camping in Denver. The city said, I know you silly voters, but we want urban camping. And so as the problem has got worse and worse and worse, and I know you and I worked together at Fox 31. It was a problem there. They finally had to put a fence around the property.
Right.
And again, I think the homeless people that we're talking about here are not what people may think of as.
These are not the nice homeless
people. No, these are drug addicts, homeless people who could go live someplace else if they wanted to. They choose not to. But so then the city said, okay, well, we're going to have, even though it's illegal in Denver, we're going to go ahead and have safe sites for camps.
SOS, safe outdoor space.
Can you post to safe outdoor spaces, as opposed to dangerous outdoor spaces? Well, so they tried to put one in Five Points, and they said no. They have them in Capitol Hill. Capitol Hill said, get them out of here. They tried to maybe Globeville. Globeville said no. So they said, I know, we'll go to Park Hill. South Park Hill, right across from us. Why don't you tell us?
Right across from the school. They can quickly assault. Whatever those stinky kids are up to.
And they can sleep in the parkway there and stuff like that.
And it's the United Methodist Church.
Right.
It's about as lefty as you can ever get.
I mean, this is leftist, liberal, like, 101, like right here in Denver. Like, this is the bastion. You were here. I threw a wonderful fundraiser for Lauren Boebert here at our home. And, like, we didn't put any signage out because we don't want to get vandalized. So, I mean, what I'm guessing is this, like, do-gooder group, I think they're called CVC, Community Village something, a very nice name, it's a community. So they go out, they try to partner with churches, they hide behind the, we're doing good, we're doing God's work, this is what Jesus would want. And they just basically parachute into a neighborhood, in this case, South Park Hill, like you were saying, and bus homeless people in a neighborhood where there are no homeless people. There is no homeless problem here. And what's funny is, literally, like I said earlier, Hickenlooper, John Hickenlooper's house is literally two doors down. I'm not joking. We drove past just to see where exactly this is. Two doors down. I mean, I would be you-know-whatting myself if I lived there. I mean, we live 2 minutes away. And I mean, it's crazy.
It is. Well, I mean, John Hickenlooper, Arash, he got rid of homelessness years ago. Don't you remember that?
What was it? The road home, the 10-year
plan? Yeah. 10-year plan and homelessness.
So they should all go live there.
It's not the road home. It's the road to his home now.
Oh, I like that. That's what we should call it.
And those guys, I'll go over there. I mean, he's got a pool, he said.
Well, and here's the craziness, because there are going to be some people, and we'll get into this in a second, about, the not in my backyard. But nobody wants it in my backyard. My point is, I know, why don't we actually try to end homelessness? These are people, again, these are not your necessarily chronically mentally ill people, veterans who have problems. I mean, there are tons of facilities in Denver and resources for people who are truly homeless. These are people, as I remember interviewing them, they said, we're home free. They want to do drugs all day. They want to sell heroin. They have cell phones. They have all kinds
That's why we need a safe heroin site also. Right. Maybe Arash and Tad can come back.
According to this group, CVC, they have jobs too. Okay, that's where I don't get it. You have a job, but then you're homeless living in this tent city.
Right.
But like you were saying, Julie, there are so many different layers to this. Sure, it's the obvious NIMBY, not in my backyard. Okay, that's obvious. But then it is at a church with a preschool. There is a preschool that meets at that church where a lot of the parents have already prepaid for the next year. Now they come to find out, oh, wait a minute, there's going to be a homeless camp going in, supposed to go in June 1st of this year, June 1st to December 31st.
Right.
So it's not technically a done deal yet, but all signs are pointing to it. It still has to go through the zoning with the city, but that's basically going to be a green light, is what they were telling us. So we just got to raise hell. Otherwise, it's going to go in there, and who knows what's going to happen. There goes the neighborhood, as they say.
Well, I can tell you what will happen. Yeah, it'll be bad things, because, again, having done these homeless stories, these are not nice homeless people. These are dangerous people who will mug you. They will rob you. They don't have great jobs so they can pay for their heroin, right? These are people, they need their drug money. This is what they do. What did they have in one of the sites where the cops took out, like, dozens of propane tanks because they were making meth? Right, so they're
they were using them to keep warm.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah, so we'll see how warm they need to be kept in June. For a second, Raj, if you think they're going to leave December 30th, I mean, where are they going to?
I won't hold my breath. Okay, first of all, they when we ask the city people, like Councilman Chris Herndon or whoever at the city, or whoever with the church, or whoever with this do-gooder group. Well, I mean, the permit goes to December 31st. Okay, but can you give us an answer? Will you extend it? Will you enforce that? No, well, we're filing it for December 31st. Okay, A, it's the middle of winter. B, it's the holiday season, the spirit of giving. Are we really gonna kick out these people? I don't think so at that point. So it's just very, very shady the way they went about this. You know, it's the city kind of passing the buck off to this group, and they can say, well, you know, it's this C3 organization that is partnering with this church, and the church owns the land, the church owns the parking lot, but there was no stakeholder input, there was no community input before the fact. We all found out about it after. It's like the pastor is telling his congregation, oh, wait a minute, by the way, we partnered with this homeless group, and come June 1st, we're going to have 50 people in here. There was nothing whatsoever.
No, and I don't think it's 50 people. It's 50 tents, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yes. So, not many people can get in a tent. And it is, it will be, is from what I've read with the other one, they're essentially police autonomous zones, right? The cops can't go in there if they're problems.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
And the thing is, I guess we've destroyed downtown. We've destroyed Capitol Hill. You guys, like you said, it's your turn to be destroyed. But I mean, they're going to bust the homeless people in.
It's the liberals' turn to be destroyed. I mean, which is ironic, you know.
Right.
Part of me is wondering if this is a big, you know, F you to Hickenlooper who lives like 10 feet away.
He deserves it.
And then you have Forest Parkway. Okay. Right. You have 17th Avenue Parkway. You got to wonder, like, during the day, what are these homeless people going to do? I mean, you cannot lock them
in your house.
Well,
they're going to be overflowing. But then they tell us, okay, just call the police. And they're not going to respond with 50 calls a day for, oh, there's a homeless person sleeping on my porch.
Right.
So, and here's the other kicker about it. All of this has been brought about because of the COVID pandemic. You know, last year, what happened was, there were certain, I'm reading this so I can get it right. You know, they're hiding under the fact that we are under still a pandemic.
Yeah,
and that there's these emergency ways that, you know, they can, you know, take care of the homeless problem temporarily. So they're hiding behind that. But now, wait a minute, we are now coming out of the pandemic. At least we see it. You know, we have a brain.
Yeah.
And we're in what level are we in now? Blue or green here in Denver?
Yeah, something like that.
Chartreuse.
But I mean, you can drink at a bar till 2 a.m. Okay.
Right. So it's like the pandemic has caused this now suspension of all the rules throughout every single law on the books because of the pandemic. So that is also the other layer to all this. So there's so many different layers of this situation.
Well, and let's talk about money, right? My guess is, I mean, what the homeless coalition or the coalition for the homeless, I mean, what they've been, if we would just give the homeless people the money straight out that we're spending on them, they could go buy their own house in your neighborhood, you know?
Right. $40,000 per person.
Yeah.
In February of 2021, this year, the Denver City Council voted for $900,000 additional dollars to go to this community village center, whatever, CVC, to create these kind of homeless encampments.
Right.
And here's the other thing. They keep telling us, oh, it's going to be safe. You know, we're going to be saying no drugs, no. How are we supposed to know that? I mean, there is no way. It sounds all great. Oh, yeah, let's just all have a party, a block party in the parking lot. And we'll just barbecue and open a few beers. But I mean, there is no enforcing it. And in fact, at the SOS site, SOS, Safe Outdoor Space, Homeless Tent City, at the First Baptist Church on Grant, last year, there was a 34-year-old woman found dead inside one of these heated tents. 34 years old. Cause of death, I don't know, but one can only imagine at that age. It wasn't exposure. Drugs are happening. Duh.
I mean, that's why they're homeless, right, Ben? That's why they don't go to the shelters,
right?
Because they do drugs. They have to buy drugs. Now, it's going to be harder. They're not going to bus them back and forth with the drugs. I mean, it's that crime is going to move there, right? Crime goes where the criminals were. I mean, if you're a drug dealer, it's marketing. You go to where the drug addicts are.
But, but it's going to be so nice because it's just going to be easy pickings.
It's going to be summertime. They're going to be lounging around on the parkway. Taking a dip in Hicks Pool. I mean,
there you go. Well, you know, the other thing that really bothers me about this is, there are some ironies in it.
It's karmic justice, I guess, for all the liberals here, but I'm the one conservative who's now speaking up about it.
Your house should be a safe indoor space, right? You're like, I did not vote for this, so your house should be in a bubble.
A safe haven.
Right, a safe haven. Well, I mean, elections do have consequences, but I think, you know, again, they're not going to move. But here you have all of these citizens saying, you know, we don't want it here. And Denver City Council's like, don't, I mean, in fact, we banned it. And Denver City Council's like, don't care.
Don't care. It's, we're in a pandemic. These are our unhoused neighbors. You know, we have to show some compassion. It's all of these beautiful words that they love to throw around, like compassion and having a heart. Mm. And, well, don't you care for your fellow man? Okay, so city councilman, open up your front door and let them in your house if you care so much, which, by the way, he doesn't even live anywhere close to this neighborhood where it's going to go.
Right. No.
Obviously.
Jacob is saying, how about the Daniels mansion? Yeah. Or, and Jacob was also saying, and I think he's right here, didn't the Coalition for the Homeless win a sales tax on purchases? I think that they did, probably. I mean, they've got everything. Yeah. Well, in a way, and Arash, let's talk a little bit about the karmic justice, because although we want to be careful, because when we live in a city where the city council is increasing.
You guys live at Cheeseman Park. We were neighbors at Cheeseman Park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? And I can talk about when Rev got a little older, we quit going to Cheeseman Park because you had to walk by all the homeless people and they would be sleeping it off. And sometimes they didn't bother you, but sometimes they did bother you and they'd be urinating and they'd be throwing up. I mean, this is what we saw, right? And Rev is like,
"Do you guys ever have homeless people sleep in your lobby downstairs in your lobby of your building? Because we did.
Outside of the lobby.
Somehow they got into ours. So that's, we knew, like, okay, it's Cheeseman Park, okay, fine. But when we moved here to South Park Hill, sure, we're still urban. You know, right. we're 2 minutes away from Colorado Boulevard. But this is not something that we anticipated would ever happen here. You don't see any homeless around here, believe it or not.
And what's it going to do to the property? Let's just say that you guys decided you wanted to sell, right?
Oh, that's another issue. Property values.
Right. You know, you go like, don't mind. Those are our friendly homeless people. Oh, no, they're probably.
We'll introduce you to them.
They're our neighbors, our unhoused neighbors here.
Yeah, unhoused neighbors, exactly. That propane exposure, that doesn't happen very much. It's only
drugs. That needle you see on the ground, that's not a drug needle. That's a leftover dose from, it's a vaccine of the COVID dose.
Yeah.
It's like.
They're very safe people.
Well, so what are you guys, what are the neighbors trying to do here?
Well, I mean, it is a steep slope. I mean, it's not technically done yet. Like, I don't think the paper has been signed by the zoning people to actually put it in. But it seems like it's an uphill battle because just this past Monday, so 5 days ago, there was a community meeting. You know, it was a Zoom call, a webinar format. So you couldn't see anybody. This was set up by the church who is allowing this, who has a young pastor, by the way, who, I mean, I think he has political ambitions. So this looks good for him to the lefty progressives. Oh, I opened up my church to help the unhoused neighbors. That's another thing. There's so many things. Okay. This was put on as a Zoom call on Monday. And essentially, we were all told as neighbors, 200, 300 people, that this is what's going to happen. And now you can voice your opinions on it. But what was funny is, first, the executive director of this group, CDC, said that this meeting would be recorded for those of us who could not make it, okay? So for the neighbors who have to work or childcare issues, we'll record this, we'll put it up online so you can all watch it later, okay? Now, plot twist, was it recorded? No.
Oh. No.
At the end of the whole thing, he's like, oops, there was a mistake, we forgot to press the record button.
Oh, yeah, okay. That happens.
But we are going to dox all of you who were opposed to it.
Exactly, that was one thing. Number two, when it came time for comment from the neighbors, they probably took, I would say maybe 7-8 comments from neighbors. Only one comment was negative on the whole thing. They cherry picked the comments from people that they knew would give a positive spin on this. Neighbors, technically, yes, but neighbors who would speak to, oh, we should be proud of our Park Hill community for welcoming it. And they only put the one lady who wanted to speak up negatively at the very end. Mm-hmm. And to top it off, you know who else got on the call? Tay Anderson.
Yeah!
I had to do a double take. I'm like, wait, did I hear that correctly? I only knew about it because he said, Tay, your next mayor of Denver, 2023.
Oh, my God.
I swear. So I guess I heard it here first. But I mean, it's like unbelievable. The guy is a cockroach. No matter what, he'll pop his head out and survive. So he was on that call.
Does he live in South Park Hill?
I don't know where he lived. No, I doubt it. He couldn't afford this place. But
well, maybe I have a GoFundMe page for that.
That's a whole other thing, Julie.
Right. He's got, so well, let me get, we'll switch your gears. Well, let me find out anything else you want to say on this whole safe outdoor space thing.
I just say it's not a done deal. You know, for your viewers, your listeners here, you know, they know Ted, my husband, Ted Trimpa. He is going in full on lobbyist mode. You know, so yeah. So, I mean, he can't work miracles. Even the Sword of Soros can't do that. But we'll see. I mean, we all just got to keep on the pressure. And, you know, people have to be speaking up. You know, that's the thing about this. One of my friends who works at Fox 31 came out to the neighborhood to do the story when it first broke. And he told me that he's been knocking on several doors. Every single person's against it off camera. But when it comes time to go on camera, nobody has the balls to go on camera and say, you know, we're against this. So, I mean, which is disheartening, really.
It is. Well, good for you for doing. I mean, and I guess, you know, we don't want to downplay that. And frankly, Ted, too, as you said, for the Sword of Soros, this is probably a bit of an ethical, you know, dilemma. But I mean, for him to go ahead to the two of you to go out and say, no, we are publicly going to say this is bad. It's bad for us. It's bad for the community. It's bad for the homeless population.
I mean, it doesn't help anybody. It's a temporary solution. And when you think about it, I mean, if we want to talk to all of the lefties, I mean, it is not really a humane thing, you know, just putting people in a tent on the parking lot when it's 110 degrees on the cement in summer. So, I mean, we can also go that argument and that route to appease the people who actually do want to help the homeless. So there's so many different arguments for it. I mean, excuse me, against it.
Well, let's talk about the next mayor of Denver, 2023, Tay Anderson. The Chronicle is working on a story, and we saw it got picked up too, that Tay Anderson had numerous GoFundMe sites. And for folks who don't know, Arash is a social media influencer, and he is one of the few voices calling out Tay Anderson. Everyone else is afraid to. He has the Black Lives Matter people accusing them of sex assault. He's got Denver school people saying he was, harassing people there and intimidating them. Now we find out that he's raising tens of thousands of dollars on GoFundMe sites, baby registries, which he is legally required to report.
But
not for the next mayor of Denver.
We just won't worry about that. He's probably thinking. No, I'm sure legally, now I don't know the law, but I would assume, you know, with the baby registry, for example, on Target, you know, to subsidize his new child coming into the world, I would assume that every single item from every baby bottle to every pack of diapers to every toy would have to be accounted for, or am I wrong?
Any
gift over $65.
So probably he's going to want to opt for then the off-brand like label of things.
He's got the beautiful stuff. Baby stroller,
hundreds of dollars. Wow. Stuff, you know, I mean, this wasn't crapola, you know.
I'm shocked. I mean, at least go for the Target brand diapers that'll fall apart.
No.
Not for the child of the next mayor of Denver.
Yeah, really.
I think Tay would make a great next mayor of Denver. Yeah. I think that's what Denver
deserves. You and Ted would have to move. You'd have to move to Adams County or something.
We would move fast. You can believe that. Wow.
I think Tay Anderson as a mayor would be just outstanding.
Is the tide turning a little bit, though? I mean,
He was quiet there for a while, you know, and on this Party Friday, I would again love to mention that Tay Anderson, under investigation for sexual assault, let's not forget.
Yeah.
You know, but then he was quiet on Twitter for a while, but then he reared his ugly head again last week, you know, chiming in on, I guess, all the the police issues with the Derek Chauvin thing. I'm sure he chimed in on the incident in Columbus, Ohio as well, knowing him.
Right.
But I mean, is the tide turning? I hope so. I mean, until whatever comes out from that investigation, which is still ongoing into the sexual assault allegations, yes, I guess time will tell.
Right.
But, you know, he does sound desperate when he's introducing himself to a little neighborhood meeting that next mayor of Denver. I mean, that screams desperation.
Right. And he got to talk, though, too, right? I mean, of the people they selected to talk,
You know, it was weird because he didn't speak up, like, for it, but he was with a neighbor. Like, they were, I guess, I couldn't see them. You couldn't see the guests. You could just hear their voice. But he apparently was with a neighbor who did speak up for it.
Okay.
Right. Which was actually kind of funny because in a way I was kind of cheering this neighbor on, his friend, because she was like wondering of these people that were putting on the panel. She was like, okay, where's the black representation here? There's not a single black person here. You're all white people. And Park Hill there's a lot of black people in Park Hill, in the North Park Hill area. So I was like, yes. Ooh, you got some internal infighting.
Yeah.
And at the end though, she was for it. And so I'm like, oh crap. Anyway.
Well, Raj, anything else you're keeping an eye on that you want to alert folks to, and then give folks how they can follow you as well?
Right now this big fight is this homeless encampment here. You know, that kind of, for me, took the front burner and Tay went on the back burner, as they say, you know, bigger fish to fry. I mean, this is literally in our own backyard, you know? So that's my own little battle here. I mean, if that does go in and I do throw another Lauren Boebert fundraiser, it's not going to be here.
Yeah.
We're going to have party crashers.
Well, they don't want to contribute.
Just keeping up the fight, you know, being vocal on places like here and on Twitter and Parler. Again, Arash Mosaleh on Twitter and Parler.
All right. Arash, thank you for your time. Say hey to Ted. Good luck. Keep us posted, okay?
I will. Happy Party Friday, you guys.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you. Arash Mosaleh there. Speaking of Party Friday, I think I saw Mark Timon come on. Mark, you sent me some great beer commercials, and we were thinking maybe we could use some beer commercials. But then upon consultation, I realized they might be a copyright infringement. And every time I put something on there that could be copyright infringement, YouTube takes our whole show down. So I don't want to get into that. Because YouTube takes any chance. Oh, Sandra's saying thank you. Great show. Leo is like the next mayor of Denver. Is that not a downgrade from the Walmart greeter? It is, actually. Although Denver deserves it. You know, one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to Arash first, because I think it is kind of funny watching all these lefties say, Mark, thank you, no worries, say, oh no, homeless encampments, safe outdoor spaces are great. And they're like, okay, let's put them in Five Points. No, let's put it in Capitol Hill. No, get it out of Capitol Hill. It's been here too long. How about South Park Hill? It's like, what? No, you know.
It could be great. And they could destroy every neighborhood in Denver. And that, you couldn't help cheer that, right? I mean, you just would say, excellent.
Here's the bet. I will give this on one hand, the Denver voters, to their credit, did vote all of this down.
Who cares
right?
about voters?
Well, I know. Now they got.
Are you crazy?
You got to pay attention to your city
Screw
council.
The voters.
Well, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But the other thing that's scary, though, is this will come to your neighborhood, too. I think there is so much money tied up in this homeless stuff. Now we're going to have illegal alien refugees. I guess we can't call them illegal aliens anymore. I don't really call
them
these
safe days. Space pioneers.
Safe space pioneers. There you go. Outdoor space pioneers. It's going to be a mess there. And there's no way they're leaving December 30th, right? And there's no way.
Yeah, they're going to leave December 30th. It's just what year? What century? Yeah.
And
they're not going to stop at 50 tents.
And they're not going to stay inside the enclosure.
No.
And they're not going to not commit any crimes. They're going to sign the thing.
We ought to lead them over to Hickenlooper's house. Say, hey, he's in Washington.
He's not even here. Right?
Yeah, just go ahead. Feel free. Feel home. Just go in there and do what you need.
And this is not new stuff. We've had former Denver police officer and Denver City Councilman Ed Thomas on the show for years, where he's talked about decades ago when he was a patrol officer underneath one of the bridges there on Downey, the Spear Viaduct. You know, when you're driving down Spear, the bridge there, they found a homeless encampment. They had tunneled back into it, and they had all kinds of propane tanks then, making meth, keeping warm. Okay. And he said, if this had blown up, it would have blown up
who cares?
The neighborhood.
The neighborhood. That's a bunch of whiteies anyway.
And it's so you can say, no, you can't make meth, sweet homeless. It's like, they don't care. That's what they're there for. In the tents, it's prostitution. I mean, the people who live across say, you know, you just can see it's prostitution going on, people buying and selling drugs, buying and selling different things going on there. They have, we saw this.
Well, aren't they going to legalize prostitution?
So there you go. None of these crimes, that's right. They're going to decriminize all of that. So it won't be a problem.
It won't be a problem. Yeah, see,
thank you to Arash for yeah. And it's not easy. I can imagine the TV reporter knocking on doors saying, yeah, I'm against it, but I'm not going to talk to you. Guys, that's what we got to stand up. That's what they're counting on, is that we'll
not
be afraid.
Remember, Julie. Well, I mean, we're with the paper, we're going to be covering this baby. And just, I'm just hoping to kill and murder. Oh,
yeah, we'll get people calling. To, yeah. Well, the South Park Hill people won't, right?
No,
and the whiny soccer moms at Stapleton, wait till they try to put it there in their Central Park area, too. We'll see how that goes.
Excellent. I mean, we got to, and everybody will start coming to Denver more, you know?
Oh, that'd be great, right?
Oh, yeah.
All the conventions.
They love homeless people.
Fortunately, they're going to be spending millions of dollars to upgrade the 16th Street Mall.
Now, why can't we make the 16th Street Mall a homeless encampment?
Because it is.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Excellent.
It already is.
All right.
Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to Patrick. Thank you to Arash. Reminding everybody, please go to chuckandjulie.com. You can get all of our shows there. Sign up for us on YouTube. Like as Rev's people, the guys he listens to, goes, like and subscribe. Also, please go ahead and follow Arash, too. I know. Yeah. I got to admit, I like it when you guys follow us on Twitter, but I don't. Every time it goes up, it goes down. Twitter won't let me go up anymore. Every time I turn around, they take people away.
Last Party Friday, I went out with a family.
Yeah. Can I tell real briefly? So we're so fun, guys. So we go out, and it's like almost 5 o'clock, or quarter to five. And so we text my daughter's boyfriend, because my daughter is out of town, and said, hey, do you want to meet us? We went to the Hofbräu. I'll give them a free plug, because they're great food there, and they have darts, so we can play. And he says, sure. He goes, I'll be there at 6. And we're like, oh, we will be gone. We will be long gone by 6. Are you kidding?
So I'm going back to the ballet now.
We get him every other weekend. You deserve it. You worked hard. Thank you to everybody. We love having you on Zoom. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to Thomas and the great folks at BBS. Everyone have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Take care.